Blue Wire.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! It's over! It's over! Cleveland is a city of champions once again!
The Cleveland Cavaliers select Colin Sexton, Darius Garland.
Here comes Sexton, some rhythm.
And he got it! Young Ball continues to wear him out!
Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast, part of the Blue Wire Network. I'm your host, Justin Roan. With me today, again, is Carter Rodriguez, my co-host, who is still not yet a father. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
Again? That was an interesting way to frame it.
Well, again, because we don't know. It's very touch and go.
Yeah,
very touch and go. You can bail at any moment.
Sure can, sure will. If I don't finish the podcast, it's because, things happen.
Yeah, shit happens. This is all your fault. But we're very excited today for our guest. Returning to the podcast is our boy, Cleveland diehard, Chops from Complex. Chops, how's it going, buddy?
What's up, guys? It's been a minute since I've been on.
It has been a minute.
And yeah. I think it's great that we rescued you from the bottom of the well and that you were able to come in here with some quality audio equipment.
I didn't want to come back on while the team sucked, but I mean, they're going to be bad for a while.
We had to get you on. And the last time you were on, I think it was one of our more well-received episodes for multiple factors. One, the audio was just objectively funny. Two, I think you had called in and you're like, you know what? I'm going to be honest. I'm a little drunk, but I got some takes, and you got some takes off, which we appreciate because over the years of knowing you, Chops, I've come to learn different versions of you. There is between games Chops. It's very confident, optimistic. You're a lot like myself in that way. In game, total meltdown. And now with your wonderful load management podcast, one hell of a point guard out there. You did a great job with Allen Iverson, and I recommend absolutely everybody check out the load management podcast.
And God knows Allen Iverson's always needed to play next to a pure point.
I really appreciate that, guys. But that form of Chops is like dead. Cause like I watch the Cavs now and I can't even care enough. I guess the Browns, I get worked up during the game still.
I guess, but
that's just always going to be what it is. Cause they're terrible and going to haunt me forever.
It's amazing that this is their third best season since they came back into the league.
It's called depressing. That's what the word is. It's not amazing. It's called depression. I hate them so much.
Oh man, I can only imagine. I feel for all of you Browns
don't you
fans
guys
out there.
Don't you guys miss high stakes Cavs games though a little bit? Like that was a true moment of time. Even like regular season games that really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things. Just being able, like, I'm very like jealous of Laker fans when I get on Twitter like late nights and they're like so just emotionally invested and like a really good team. And I miss that. I really do.
Yeah. I mean, well, Justin, of course, long does not miss that at all. He was just over the LeBron circus. That's reasonable. I do though. It's just like, you know what I'm sick of? If I, among other things,
everything, you're fed up with everything.
I'm very fed up right now, but you know what else I'm sick of? I'm sick of games that are 20 point blowouts that the Cavs get within single digits, and then I have to pretend like they competed hard. Yeah. Like I had to pretend like it was a close game. Even
you're
though
solidifying
it wasn't.
Why I don't want kids, because you don't even have a kid yet, and you're turning into Zavac, and it's very disturbing to me. What I miss almost more than the contending years right now, what I'm longing for is like that 2014 Cavs where after Andrew Bynum left, they basically went 500. They're right on the cusp. They were competitive. They got some upset wins over the Thunder and it was worth tuning into games. And
they had good players then still.
Yeah. I really want one cornerstone player at the very least.
You would hope they could get one.
Unfortunately, the closest thing the Cavs have to a cornerstone player is Kevin Love, who appears to be on his way out. So
he looks more miserable than Carter during games. Like, Carter's fed up. Kevin Love is really fed up with the Cavs.
I'm worried for him. I am honestly worried for him. I don't want to give away too many of your takes because I was listening to the Load Management podcast, which, again, I recommend everybody go check out.
I appreciate that.
And it seems like, would it be fair to say that you're just kind of ready for him to be gone?
Yeah, because it's like, what's the point? Like, it's not – I don't want to say he's, like, mailing it in, but, I mean, he's quite obviously – knows that he's going to be traded, and like there's no reason to go all out right now because the season's going to matter for him once he gets moved and once he's on the next team that he hopes is a contender, which I find it funny. Yesterday,
if he hasn't mailed it in, he's put stamps on the package.
And yesterday it came out, Kevin Love wants to play for a contender. And then today it said, Kevin Love wants to play for the Blazers. Well, are those the same things? Not to be mean to the Blazers, but I thought I missed something there. But yeah, I mean,
I wonder how much of this just was like, I wonder how much of this we can pin on that back injury flaring up again. Like, it was easy for him to commit, but now that it's like, it's going to hurt me to play hard on this team. It was a pretty quick, like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah, I think that that's probably a little fair. I think a big part, though, was early in the season, all these guys were trying so hard. The defense was actually average, which seemed impossible. But then after all those nights of putting in that much effort and getting so few wins, I think it just was like, I can't do this for 82 games. Because if I do this for 82 games, one, I'm going to completely break down. Two, we're probably still only going to win about 27 games here.
Yep. It is. It's ugly right now. He certainly isn't helping his trade value if that's what he was hoping to have happen. It's not exactly getting there. I don't know. Do you think teams care about that?
Do you think he's just telling teams like, I can play better. I'm literally like not trying. Like, that's what I'm wondering. Is he pulling an Odell Beckham like, hey, come get me. I'm kind of loafing it. Not saying that, you know, Odell is hurt, but I kind of think that might be it. There's so much back channeling.
Yeah.
That I feel like teams have to know that he can play much better.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah, I think that's fair. My big theory was this all started right after the game in Miami, and Pat Riley's kind of notorious for that kind of thing.
Don't go to the Heat. I can't. How do we still have how do Heat fans still hate us? It's been forever. I saw them tweeting the other day, and I'm like, it's like the It's Always Sunny episode, Reignite the Rivalry, and they thought it was over.
I'm just baffled by it. Like, I don't understand what we did to make them hate us so much. But I do think that there's something to that. Even Marcus Saul last year, like, he was mailing it in and he still had value. Still went out and got assets for him. And I think at this point, especially with veteran players, all that they're really going to care about is the physical. And there's already some proof out there that when he's trying this season, he's still a really good player.
Yeah, and the reality of the situation is it's not like GMs are going to consider trading for Kevin Love, look at his game log on ESPN.com and go, no, he sucks now. Like, they're going to watch the tape. They're going to see he's not trying, per se.
Yeah.
They're going to do their due diligence. It's not going to be like some people on Twitter. So to that end, I can't help but think that this is still going to end in a trade, but I just can't figure out what the best destination is for him right now. I mean, Chops, do you have a preferred spot to send him right now?
It's tough because Portland just doesn't make any sense asset wise. They'd have to find a third team.
So you guys are not in on the Zach Collins and a first return?
I saw someone tweet, yo, I hope we can get Zach Collins in a Trailblazers trade. And I'm like, I hope I never watch this team again if that happens. Like, what? Like,
I like Zach Collins. I think he's a good player, but that can't be the only thing coming back.
Guys, we got it.
Let me be clear. Justin just said that literally 2 days ago that he was cool with Mikal Bridges,
I saw
Dario Saric, and no pick.
Wait, I didn't hear that part. Justin, come on. You need a pick.
I prefer a pick. I would try for a pick, but at this point, I'm a Bridges stan, man. Like I think that he's going to be
Justin's
a real good
watched
player.
Watched 4.5 Suns games, and just now he's a
like,
stan.
Like by choice, or you just like you like?
Well, I wanted him at 8. I wanted him over Colin. And
did
he's a real good defensive player.
You saw the Suns Twitter talking about Luka being the greatest of all time already, and you were just like, I need some of what they're smoking out there in Phoenix.
Well, the other part of that too is we get Saric back, which means that we don't have to start Larry Nance Jr., which honestly does a lot for me. I really need that in my life.
What did you call Larry on Twitter today?
I called him Jan Vesely with nepotism.
God. Yeah, I actually really like that bit. I think it's actually not that bad, because especially given the fact that Jan Vesely is like turned himself into a pretty respectable EuroLeague player.
Not a bad NBA.
And like, he won MVP.
Like good athlete.
Okay.
Not quite a 5, not quite a 4. You know.
Does flashes of everything, but couldn't flashes really put it everything. All together. And I like Larry. Like Larry from a personality standpoint. He's leadership. Great. Yeah, he's great, and he can do almost everything on a basketball court. If you put together his highlight reel, he looks like one of the most complete players I've ever seen. It just doesn't all click at the same time, which is the unfortunate thing.
Saric is one of those dudes you could like talk yourself into, because casual Cavs fans probably just remember him on that Philly team that made the run, and people were like, oh, they're going to upset the Cavs, and don't realize that was like 3 years ago. And
yeah, I mean, Saric, not as good. Yeah, Saric is not great, and you don't really want to pay him that much anyway. I'm not sure what you're going to have to pay him, but ultimately, I don't know. I kind of do like that deal, but I just need a first to make it worth my while. But, like, whereas I don't think Collins in a first is going to be that bad, because
where's the Blazers?
Hold on. Yeah, that's what I was about to say is, I don't think Kevin Love is going to help the Blazers record that much.
Yeah, it would need to be an unprotected first, 100%.
Sure. Would he not help them?
I think there's something a bit more fundamentally wrong with that team, primarily on the wings.
Who are we shading? We shading Dame or CJ? Let's get into it.
I'm shading Kent Bazemore.
Well, okay, we've been doing that for years.
Invite Ryan Morton onto the pod.
Yeah. We've been doing that for years.
Yeah, the thing is, you need front courts in the NBA to be competitive. Like, I don't think it's fair to put it all on Dame, just the same way I wouldn't put it all on Kyrie.
Someone tell Kobe Altman that you need wings in the NBA.
Yeah. No kidding. Well, that's part of why I want Mikal Bridges so bad, is because you look at this draft and it once again, it's all guards, which is a little bit frustrating. I feel like contenders aren't the spot for Love. I feel like teams 5 to 8 in the standings
teams are where it makes more of a difference into becoming contenders.
Well, the most interesting team to me that I thought about was Houston.
Yeah.
I just don't see what they give.
Well, it would have to be a 3-team deal. Morey would have to get super creative there. But I think that that is the roster that he could like bring up the most. I think, like you said, I don't know how much he brings up Portland. The Nuggets, does he really bring up, if they did a Millsap Love swap, does that really do a lot?
I think Millsap's better than this version of Kevin Love
defensively, for sure. Like a Kevin Love Jokic front court, that is,
well, the reason you trade for it is because you hope Kevin Love shows Jokic what a salad is.
Some like, diet and exercise. Let's get him glowed up. It'll be like a rom-com in the 90s where
fat Jokic is like my favorite subplot of this season.
God. Dude, he's so big. He's so big and people want to act like he isn't.
Yeah, no, people are like it's like what I do for Baker. You kind of take like promising photos of him where he doesn't look as big as he is. Yeah. And then you hope that people just don't talk about it.
Fat shame.
Yeah.
That was a thing I saw on Twitter. Don't fat shame Nikola Jokic. I'm sorry.
Kings fans are another. When I was talking to Justin, when I tweeted out the Woj thing that I saw on IG, Kings fans and Suns fans were in my mentions the most, saying that they need to get Kevin Love. But what do the Kings offer us?
I mean, in our podcast Discord chat, some people have thrown out a Barnes Bielitsa. Combo.
I can't root for Harrison Barnes, guys. There's too many tweets.
I mean, I respect the fact that he helped win us a championship, but outside of that, I really don't want any part of him.
Yeah, the only way you want to do that, I mean, and I don't know why the Kings would ever want him either, to be honest. They're overloaded on bigs.
Well, kind of. I mean, they...
Well, they don't have any good bigs.
Yeah, they're overloaded on bigs. They can't trade Bagley.
They can't trade Bagley yet because they already passed on Luka for him, so I feel like they're pod committed. And, yeah, right. I just don't... The Kings don't make a lot of sense to me. I feel like a team that knows they aren't a free agent destination... that's kind of either on the verge of making playoffs or kind of in the bottom four of the playoffs. I feel like that's kind of the ideal spot.
Because, boy, would it be nice if the Jazz had at least one decent prospect.
Oh, my God.
They need it, too. They need a shakeout. That team's struggling.
They need a player like Love, but the only way to make the money work is to include a Mike Conley, who looks mega washed, by the way.
He looks washed. I was wrong about the Jazz and him.
Yeah,
I thought you made a real great point that with how bad this free agent market is and with Kevin Love being the only name really on the trade market or the biggest name, and name recognition really does matter, especially for some of these small market teams.
Oh, for sure.
If they can't get a return for Kevin Love, that's not just a bad look for the Cavs. That's a bad look for the NBA because there is no drama right now. The last trade was in July. I think just the lack of transactions or storylines like that. Like the Lakers are good, but there's nothing really interesting other than the fact they're good. It's, well, we'll wait until the playoffs. If there's no market out there for Love when you know there's no better options in free agency this summer, there's no bigger name on the market right now, that's a tough look.
Do you think you could convince the Wolves to give up Jarrett Culver?
I wish.
Is he along with shedding Gorgui Dieng? He's not playing well.
Doesn't Kevin hates dude, the owner though, Glenn Taylor.
Oh, right? That's a good, yeah.
This isn't Kevin's call. He's locked up for 4 years.
Well, also, here's the thing I want to bring up. Two things. The Cavs saved Kevin from having to request a trade. They kind of did him a favor because that trade request was coming probably publicly.
Yeah.
Within 2 weeks.
And honestly, it might still come.
Right. Yeah, I feel like
they bailed him out from being the bad guy a little bit, but also he wants to play for a contender. These demands, how much are the Cavs going to work with him to do that? Like, are they just going to say, fuck you and send him to wherever? Or are they going to kind of do right by him? I think that's a big question in this.
I think this is going to be something that actually unfolds fairly quickly. Cause let's use the Denver example for if whatever reason they prioritize Love over Millsap, they feel he fits their needs more. Mm-hmm. You want to get that done now because you want to flip Millsap at the deadline as an expiring guy that can help a team.
Yeah. Are we getting Gary Harris in that deal? I would like that.
I would like Gary Harris as well.
Is that who we look for in that move?
Well, I mean, they literally have traded Gary Harris for Kevin Love before. It just got vetoed at the last minute.
Thanks, Gary Pritchard.
Yeah,
Kevin Pritchard. It's fine.
Well, whatever. It's Gary.
Yeah, he's such a fucking Gary Carter. Just
for that fuck up, it's Gary.
Yeah, I think
story real quick.
Go ahead.
ComplexCon, we had a panel with Richard Jefferson, Rachel Nichols, Gilbert Arenas, Matt Barnes, whatever. Richard, and the video is dropping this week, not to plug anything, it's not about the plug, but RJ talked about that trade more in depth than I've seen anybody talk about the Paul George for Kevin Love trade. And it's actually fascinating because they had agreed to it and the Pacers GM, RJ said, knew nothing. The Pacers ownership had reached out to RJ to ask him about Kevin Love, what kind of guy he was, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The Pacers GM knew nothing about this. All these conversations were going on and he knew not a word of it. I can't believe he's still there after that. After that much conversation went on.
So Herb Cole or whoever the hell owns the Pacers now was negotiating straight with Gilbert.
And the Nuggets owner. Like, it was all...
I feel like owners negotiate this shit a lot more than we want
to
think.
RJ was... He dropped, and I'll send it to you guys, parts of the story that I don't think that have ever been, like, publicly said yet. And it blew me away, and I was like, one, the ripple effect of just that not happening. Like, think about what the Cavs... I'm not saying LeBron stays, but so much could have happened differently, I think, if that happens, you know?
Oh, buddy, I would have been so annoyed if the two of them just left for LA the next year. I still, my conspiracy theory is still that LeBron going to the Lakers was part of that lifetime Nike deal that he signed.
Maybe you got the tinfoil hat on for that one, I think. Carter,
oh, I 100% do. Like, that is straight up. I'm in
on
this.
Oh, you're in on that one, Carter? Okay,
dude. You hear stories that the summer of 2016, after they won the title, people were like, yeah, he's going to the Lakers.
Don't forget, when Lonzo was drafted, he was sitting courtside at the summer league games for Lonzo next to Nike executives.
Woke chops.
That was because they wanted at that time they thought Lonzo was still a good basketball player. We now know he's not. Mm-hmm. And
by the way, before we continue, I just saw that ESPN's head story right now is how Lonzo Ball is rebuilding his shots with the Pelicans. With a new form and a newfound confidence, the number 2 overall pick is working towards becoming a consistent threat from beyond the arc. Benched today?
That's a guy who's getting traded. The trade market is weak this year.
He's
Griff does not want that guy. I'm not speaking like I've talked to Griff or anything. You can just tell that guy does not fit into a type of team that Griff is going to build. No, they're trading that guy for sure.
Man,
the Bulls are always that'd be interesting.
Would be interesting, but I like Kobe White. But man. There's no real easy spot for Kevin Love. Like it's going to be interesting. I do think that it is going to be something that happens quickly. But finding a location for Kevin Love is really difficult, but getting an erection doesn't have to be. Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Usually we just brush it off or blame ourselves, saying things like I lost my mojo, or we avoid it altogether with excuses like I had a long day at work, or sorry, honey, I'm just not feeling it. But with Roman, it's easy to talk about it. With a real doctor who can prescribe real medication, it's simple, safe, and totally discreet. With Roman, you can get a free evaluation online and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your own home. The doctor will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, Roman will ship it to you with free 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward, simple, and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire and complete an online visit. Erectile dysfunction used to be tough to tackle, but now there's Roman. Complete an online visit today to connect to a doctor and get it taken care of. Just go to GetRoman.com/BlueWire to get a free online visit and free 2-day shipping. That's GetRoman.com/BlueWire for a free visit to get started. GetRoman.com/BlueWire. About that, guys?
Justin, before you transition, can we do a little ad read talk?
Yeah, let's pull back the curtain here.
So, as you guys know, I famously botched my Manscaped read with Zayvac.
Oh my god. Chops, did you have the chance to listen to that?
Yeah, of course.
Really struggled.
I was listening to that on my flight back from Cleveland, and I was losing my mind laughing. That was the funniest
thing. I was trying to get over the depression of listening to Carter and Zayvac on the same pod.
Well, I'll tell you
nothing
what, man.
Against you guys, but you guys are sad. Like you guys are. It's just.
I actually think we were. Team. Yeah, we're just. Yeah, we're low.
Imagine how bad it would be now. That'd
be a hell of a pod. But I just want to say I was listening to Two Bears One Cave, the Tom Segura Bert Kreischer pod.
Yeah.
And they had a Manscaped read, and it just really, and they just fucking knocked it out of the park, bro. And I just spent the whole time thinking like, oh, I should have done this as well as they did. They talked about shaving their buttholes. It was so funny. I was just giggling the whole time, and I was like, I could have done this for our listeners.
You dropped the ball, man. Yeah,
I did my first ad read today for one of our pods. Yeah,
how did it go? Did you feel comfortable?
Yeah, of course. You know,
it took us a minute to find our rhythm on them.
Justin, with the free Canadian healthcare, do you need to sign up for Roman, or do they just kind of ship all that stuff to you guys?
Yeah, everyone just gets it. Everyone just gets it, whether they have ED or not.
Yeah, they just ship us deer antler spray for our penis, and that gets the
just
the
wakes
job done.
Wakes the old girl up.
It just comes in the mail. It just like the catalogs for the Bed Bath and Beyond.
Yeah, it's we just had a feeling that you could use this. Hey. Tops, I want to get your thoughts on one thing, because there was talk. I guess Bayline had mentioned that they might be splitting up the sex line duo or making changes to the starting lineup. Where are you currently at with the young guys on the team, and are you in favor of splitting them up this early?
Can they split Colin Sexton up to another team?
And I'm the buzzkill.
I think that's possible. It would not surprise me. Honestly, I think everybody on the team should be available except for Kevin Love trade or in general, just to get a better return. Even Garland? If it's a good enough return. Like, if you can actually go out and get a good young guy that we already know is good, I'd make anyone available.
Justin's doing the whole no one, only like one guy in the league's ever untouchable.
Yeah.
Angle.
Right.
I mean, you can't
trade both your lottery point guards, but you have to trade one of them. And if I had to pick one of them, despite Garland being like super
bad
right now, yeah, he's just not. It's just
good.
You have to. The tools.
This is a good Mad Lib we have here.
The tools are theoretically there. Like, I've seen players that play like him be successful in this league, so I believe that he can maybe one day hopefully do that. I was a big Sexton guy last year. You know, I really wanted to believe in him. That was mostly because I thought people were just being too mean to him, and I just wanted to be contrarian. So
I'm very shocked. I'm not shocked at this at all. I'm shocked that you're admitting it.
Yeah, so bring the curtain back. One thing I learned about doing podcasts, just honesty sells. So now, you know what? There's no reason to be contrarian. Like, he just kind of sucks. Move him to the bench, move him wherever. I don't care. I can't watch him and Garland play together anymore. It's just not working. They have to figure something else.
The problem is that Garland just can't ever find any kind of consistent rhythm as an off-ball player, because Sexton can't find him. Sexton can't space for him right now.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just like, on one hand, it feels a little disingenuous for me to put blame on Sexton for Garland's poor play, because it's like,
for sure,
Garland also makes Sexton's life harder too, you know, and maybe Sexton looks better if he actually gets to guard a point guard instead of guys who are like 6'8".
True.
And he's getting guarded by these guys. Like, I mean, talk about a tough matchup. I mean, Jimmy Butler's like the primary guy. These big wings are just smothering Sexton defensively. And maybe if he got to go against some point guards, he'd have an easier time. So I don't know. But I think
he'll have more of a chance to do that with the second unit.
Well, I think ultimately the reason you bench Sexton is that's just what the team's hypothetical construction calls for. I don't know how else to say it.
I think Garland has more of a chance to be someone that can actually run an offense. Like, I think it's clear to anybody watching, he has better vision. He's not making the reads at the right time. Like, they're delayed at this point. But he has that type of ability, and he has the vision, and he'll make great passes from time to time. Whereas Sexton, I think, just flat out doesn't really have that as part of his game.
Well, it's the thing that I said to Trevor. Sorry to cut you off, but it's the thing I said to Trevor, or that we said to each other. I forget who made the point, but it's like, Sexton can make the passes, but he can't see them. Garland can see the passes, but he can't make them. And I'd rather have the latter problem.
I told Lima this the other day. If you could just combine them into one player, we'd have like an all-star.
Yeah, he needs his confidence.
And if you combine their assist totals together, you'd have three. Hassan Whiteside.
You'd have three a game. The other thing about moving Sexton to the bench, you got to get Jordan Clarkson off this team.
Yeah, that's the thing.
He's really taken up Knight, Clarkson, like, you have so many guards. You got to push these guys out to really get to that construct and kind of see if Sexton can be that guy off the bench, get him away from Garland, see if that helps Garland, see how that – but the problem with that is Clarkson is kind of cogging that all up right now.
Yeah, the way you frame that, I think, is really smart, because ultimately the Cavs are going to have to do some figuring here. They're going to have to figure out if Garland can be their lead point guard. They have to figure out if Sexton can be a microwave bench scorer. And you kind of can't do either of those things while Clarkson's here. And I also think it's pretty fair to surmise that Clarkson was one of the people who talked to Chris Fedor and voiced complaints.
I was going to say it's, I was going to raise that point.
I would agree.
So if you put the pieces together, it just makes a lot of sense that I actually think getting Clarkson out of here, especially to maybe provide some cap relief for a team that thinks that they have a shot for Giannis down the line.
I think he can help a team. Like, yeah, he can help a team.
And
yeah, I'm so going to tell people he can help a team. So hopefully the GMs see the tweets or something.
Like
you look at
bench players, and I think Clarkson, the only problem with Clarkson really is the money he's being paid, which is over after this season. You trade for him now, and you're a team that needs that scoring punch off the bench. You also get his bird rights. So you can sign him to a more reasonable contract, and you can go over the cap to do so.
Yeah, max him out. Have fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I have more – I'm more interested in trading Clarkson than trading Love right now.
Can I say – I heard who the players were. Have you guys
– I mean, if you want to disclose it, like,
I haven't heard from anyone who would let me disclose it.
Yeah, we've heard, but we haven't heard from anyone that's giving us the –
I'm not going to say who told me, but it's someone I trust.
Go ahead.
I heard it was three players. Should we go through?
Yeah. Adam.
Brandon Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan Clarkson.
Yep.
Colin Sexton.
Okay. That lines up with
I have actually heard a few different names, so clearly it's we've got some mixed signals here. Obviously, anytime anonymous reporting happens, but if it is Sexton, then you know that's such a bad indicator.
I've heard those three from everybody, and Love was the other name that was lumped in there.
I think Love just kind of like the coincidence of what happened that day kind of just like makes that seem what
yeah,
I'm
happy.
Love seems so obvious that like I feel I feel okay.
You don't
just
even need to
it.
Say him. Sexton's the one. If so, like that's just something I heard. I don't want to put it on there. Like, Colin, don't come after me. Just what I heard. But
Colin's not on social media. He's a good detached man.
I think we can all agree that Tristan was not one of them, which is very cool. And obviously TT's post-game remarks about it were some of the biggest leadership like words I've heard in Cleveland in like forever, you know?
Chatty Patty.
Like, he's such a leader. It was very cool to kind of hear him address it like that.
I just want Tristan to know that it's Chatty Cathy.
Well, he's Canadian.
Like, yeah, Carter, like, Carter, Justin, we have different versions, all right?
Oh, my God.
He's Canadian.
Man, it's
awesome.
This is
Cole's notes all over again.
Yeah, no kidding. This is something that like I've been told from like day one. Like I know people with Team Canada, and they said even when there were no NBA players there, basically, like, Tristan was that guy. Tristan was always stepping up. He's that type of leader. And the incentive of winning doesn't necessarily need to be there for him to be a leader. Like, Team Canada, especially when he started out there, not a good team. We're losing to Argentina. We're losing to, like, God, what was the real painful loss? I think it was like Guatemala or something like that. There was some real bad loss that Wiggins basically cost us the game. But like, he still is bringing that same energy in losing efforts, which we are now seeing this season. He does provide that leadership. And if you do end up moving Kevin Love, you already have, if you kept Love, you have like $50 million in space. If you move him and you don't have a ton of salary that goes beyond this season, you just have more space than you have any ability to spend. And you might as well spend that on a guy that's still 28 years old and provides leadership. I think that would be a smart idea, especially because he does fit well with Garland and Kevin Porter Jr. and Osman and the other young guys.
How it took us this long to mention the Cavs' best rookie.
Yeah, KPJ. I was going to ask you about him because I wanted to know if you're moving Sexton out of the starting lineup, is KPJ the guy that you're putting in?
So what would that be? That'd be Garland,
Porter Jr., Jetty, Love, Tristan for now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Beilein would try and maybe do Delly. Would he try and do Delly? Like, yeah, I know. I don't like it, but
I don't hate it only because I think it gets Garland some off-ball looks.
Delly's like probably a bottom like 25 player in the league, right?
Dude, I don't think he starts in Europe. I think he sucks. Like, I think he flat out is just not good now. What I would actually, if you're
he's
trying,
a worse shooter than Kevin Porter Jr. somehow, like just by form.
If you're trying to build a roster that both develop, or if you're trying to build a lineup that both helps Garland develop and stay somewhat competitive, I think what you'd actually do is slide Jetty over to the two and start McKinney.
Yeah, I'm more okay with starting McKinney than starting KPJ. The biggest problem with this remains the Clarkson problem, because all of a sudden now you have Clarkson, yes. Sexton, KPJ coming off the bench.
You got to get Clarkson out of here. You got to trade him. Like, December 16th, I think you have to be making Clarkson calls.
Yeah. Are we able to trade on the 15th or is it the 16th? Because whatever day that is, I mean, you can trade him now, but I want to have that deal lined up for the first available moment. And it'd be fun. Like, from even just a podcast standpoint, I'd want a trade to be done by this time next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clarkson feels much more doable than Love. Like, there's no reason you can't move Clarkson early.
Yeah.
Looking for something better. Like, Love, I'm worried might drag on just because the fits are so difficult. The amount of money you have to convince ownership to spend, much more cumbersome. Cavs will be wanting more.
I think the Love thing, I the only way, like, I think obviously teams would be smart to go the route of getting Love, like, kind of into their system and everything. Mm-hmm. But the Cavs aren't, I mean, they need to get multiple suitors going in this, because if they don't, then a team, like, say it's only Portland interested, they're gonna drag their feet. You need to get multiple teams going in this, and that's the only way that I think it could get accelerated. But like Carter's saying, it's just so complicated to figure out a Love deal for so many of these contenders that I don't know if it's something that can happen quickly.
I hope Phoenix just I feel like Phoenix is one of those teams that will pay full price very quickly. Because
what does that do for their cap situation though? Because they have to pay Booker after this year, right? Or they already paid Booker, right?
They already paid Booker. Okay. Aiden's still a little ways away. You reunite Love and Rubio.
Yeah, James Jones, their GM.
I was going to say James Jones is their GM, and their owner brings goats into an office to literally take a shit. So I think you both have a good connection there with James Jones and Kobe Altman, and you have an owner that's impatient and a little bit crazy, which I feel like is a good formula for
yeah.
For
but cap. You also have an owner who's a lot of a cheap ass,
super cheap.
Yeah, I guess. But at the same time, he threw like $30 million at Trevor Ariza.
Sure, Dad.
And the Love contract is front loaded.
We all make mistakes.
Yes, we absolutely do. So I think keeping our fingers crossed that some team makes that mistake.
Also, do you think not to go full conspiracy, but with the lack of a big names on the trade market, you think the NBA tells the Cavs to kind of let it drag out, get the you know, because like the
Raiders, I don't know if Kevin down. Love is moving a ton of
it's all they have.
I mean I hope so. That'd be great.
People like, fans talk themselves into mediocre, and Kevin Love's not mediocre, but Marcus Morris is going to have fans December 15th saying we need to get Marcus Morris.
Do you remember the Tobias Harris conversation at the deadline?
The deadline,
do you remember that?
The deadline makes these fans – we were weird. We would get excited about Channing Frye. Obviously, Channing's awesome.
Yeah,
but
swing
like,
and a miss on that reference.
Yeah, Channing Frye won us a title. Listen, how dare you, sir?
Listen. I'm just saying, in a vacuum, yes. But, like, it's not like Channing Frye is, like, a top 20. You know, it's not –
yeah.
You guys understand what I'm trying to say.
No, Kevin 100%.
Kevin Still Love is still a premier player. He's still a premier name. I think that they might want him on the – I don't know. I'm just
listen,
saying.
Listen, if the NBA is willing to give us a top three pick and guarantee that the pick is top three, 100%, I will drag my feet. I will shill whatever angle they want to talk. Like, I'll do it all, man. Like, give me Anthony Edwards. Like, let's get this going.
That's all I'm saying. Kevin Love's by far – unless Dame – shocks everybody and says I want out of Portland, Kevin Love is the biggest name that's going to be on the market this year.
Yeah, and I don't think Dame's going to force his way to the Lakers just yet. That's probably exactly. Coming soon, but I don't think it's happening this season.
I really thought about it. Like, I guess like CP3's name came up today, but is that really moving the needle? Because like, how many teams can even trade for CP3 with that contract?
And his contract is like, it's a lot worse than Love's. Like,
yeah.
That's just a shit ton of money. And I mean, who knows, maybe Houston gets desperate, as you said, and they find a third team. They were already willing to give up multiple first round picks to get worse at point guard. So that's real funny. But before we wrap this up though, we talked about it very briefly, but Kevin Porter Jr., I want to get your thoughts on him. Cause he really excites the hell out of me.
I love him. His floor vision is like the biggest surprise to me, and like it makes me genuinely happy when he gets out in the open court. He can make the right passes, he gets to the rim, he can finish. Obviously the shot needs to come along, I think it will, but he is really the lone bright spot. And obviously hopefully when Windler comes back he brings it too, but Kevin Porter Jr. is just, I look at him and I know he is an NBA probably starting player.
He's going to pan out. I think he's going to be a top 10 player from this draft, and I'm fairly confident in that. And I loved in the broadcast they mentioned that even since training camp he's added 12 pounds of muscle. He doesn't wait till summer for that. He's already getting strong.
Yeah, just like get the shot worked out, you know, like go to Brickley or whoever needs to get your shot worked out.
Mm-hmm. Garrity would be the guy with the Cavs that remade Jetty's and Sexton's jumper.
If you can just get him to what, like 35% from three, is that, I mean, right around there, I think you got something.
Yeah, at that point, if he can make defenders think twice or punish them if they're not closing out, all of a sudden he becomes a pretty damn complete player. Like, he plays team basketball. Like, he's not some black hole ball hog. He goes out there and he really competes on defense, and the mistakes he makes are trying to do the right things, which I absolutely love.
I had no idea he could pass as well as he did. I did not see that kind of in his little draft profile, which is, it's a nice surprise.
Yeah, he does flashy passes, and his reads are better than expected. Even Carter's on the Kevin Porter Jr. bandwagon, which warms my heart.
Carter, listen, are you?
Yeah.
You like a Cavs player?
Oh, fuck off.
I say that to Zabak like once a week, and he doesn't reply. So I don't
appreciate this. I respect that I've been a real Debbie Downer, but so have you, Chops. I'm not being uncommonly pessimistic.
Nah, we're all pessimistic except for Justin. Justin's the only one.
Yeah, Justin's the only one who, if you listen to last week's pod, said maybe it would be nice if the Cavs didn't have to worry about getting Kevin Love touches anymore.
Well, no, you just get the focus on Garland.
Because they're really going out of their way to do it right now.
Oh, my God. What a spend. I will find an angle. Justin.
I'm a marketing major, man. I will find a way to sell anything. That's what I'm here to do. And also, you getting like incredulous over the things I say is good audio. So I'm here to serve the people, Carter.
Ah, you fraud.
Carter, rank your three favorite Cavaliers right now. I'd love to know.
Oh, that's great.
God,
Tristan. Tristan's easy.
It already took too long.
Tristan's easy.
Yep.
Then I would probably say Jetty.
Oh God.
And then KPJ.
All right. Okay. That's a solid three.
It's not solid at all, actually, but that's fine.
I have to put Garland in my top three.
How?
Still. Because the idea of Darius Garland is
oh, it's so sexy. It's so good. Sexy.
Well, the reality of it sucks balls right now.
I just think about Kobe in that open gym and Garland just hitting every 3-point shot.
Do you think in the open gym for the first 5 minutes they were like, no, you have to shoot. You're open.
I don't know, but I just, the dollar signs coming over Rich's face, like I love it.
It's going to work out, Carter. You're gonna look like a fool, and I will mock you.
How many minutes are we in?
We are at 45, so I was just about to wrap it up.
Took me 45 minutes to mention Rich Paul, so take
that. Hey, there you go.
Classic. Listen, before we wrap, I do want to note, I don't think Garland's a bust. I just want to complain for a while that he's bad right now, and yeah. I'm allowed to, damn it.
Yeah, okay. For sure. No, 100%. I don't think we can blame anybody for being mad about any Cavaliers players. They're losing by 40 consistently, like every night. People have the right to be upset. It's just the Garland thing is his profile shows that he should be better. So it's just, you just want it to happen, you know? And that's what's frustrating for me right now.
Mm-hmm. He's not shooting well from three and he's still shooting like 36%.
Yeah.
Like I think he's going to, I think the second half of the year is going to be real fun with Garland, and we're still just 20 games in. So he's just getting in shape. He's getting his legs underneath
him. I'm going to lose my mind if it doesn't. So I don't.
Yeah. It's going to be real ugly. You know, what really is frustrating to me right now is that I just read that Arby's is buying Buffalo Wild Wings for $2.4 billion. Who the hell gave Arby's more money than Buffalo Wild Wings?
Is this an ad read for Arby's?
No, I just saw this in a news article.
We were getting really nihilistic, so Carter's like, let's eat Arby's.
I don't know anyone who's gone to Arby's in months. I know a lot more people that go to B-dubs.
That's a weird, yeah. I if you would have asked me who has more money,
yeah, who bought who, would both, I think we would all agree that it's B-dubs.
Do they have B-dubs in Canada?
Yes, they no, we don't.
Do they have Arby's?
Why did you not know the answer to that?
Well, because I like almost consider North Dakota to be Canada, because we drive down there often.
My family lives in North Dakota on my mom's side, way back. Yeah,
I'm really sorry to hear that. It sucks. It really sucks.
Said the guy from Peg City.
Oh man, hey, people from North Dakota call Winnipeg the Vegas of the North, because they come up here and they drink, they gamble, because our drinking age is 3 years younger. So we. We are a destination. We are a travel destination.
Why don't they just go to Las Vegas? It's not that far.
Because it's like an hour drive to come up here. We're right at the border, basically.
I'll have to visit sometime.
All right. Well, that's a great place to wrap it up. Eat Arby's, folks. Visit Travel Winnipeg. and if you want to support both of our podcasts, check out the Load Management Podcast over at Complex. Cannot recommend it highly enough. Thank you so much, Chops, for coming on. If you guys want to support both podcasts, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review, unsubscribe, resubscribe, and help cook those books. Chops, Do you want to once again address the review that your mom left on the podcast?
Yeah, I feel bad because I deleted it.
You should have left it up. That was iconic.
So yeah, if you guys do follow the Load Management Podcast, our first review, what did it say? It said like
awesome. It was Chops 23. Yeah, but awesome bot.
What is yeah? Or she was like awesome. This is great. And so yeah, it under my old Apple ID, which she uses unknowingly because I got her Apple Music last year, and just she doesn't know how to like set it up, so she just uses my Apple ID, and she seemed so devastated when I was explaining to her that she had to delete it. Like she was like she was like so sad, and I'm like, I should have just left it up. I feel bad. I might just like have her write it again or something. I don't know.
You blew it, bro.
Yeah.
Oh man. All right. So adding to that list, leave a rating and go love your mothers. If you want to be part of our Discord chat, you can send a screenshot of your review to chasedownpod@gmail.com and we will send you an invite link to that Discord. You can also subscribe to our premium feed. Just Google Chase Down Premium and become at least five times a month. Recaps of the week for the young guys, questions and answers, off-topic podcast, stuff like that. So if you want to support us that way, we really do appreciate it. But no matter how you choose to support us, we appreciate your support. Thanks to Carter. Thanks to Chops. Until next time, go Cavs.